だろう。
It's wonderful to see you here today.
Hi.
I have to collect my thoughts a minute. It's this morning someone asked me in the lobby, I've never preached before, so grace everybody. This morning, thank God. This morning I was telling someone, you know, I've been praying for like 10 years, you know, God, pick me, you know, study the word, and I have a gift of gab, my friends who are here can testify. And so, you know, you finally get picked off the bench, and then you don't want to go, right? You know, I'm thinking A-Rod or whoever you can think of, right? When they get called off the bench, they don't go, sorry, coach, can't make it today, right? You come out and you're ready to go. So someone in the lobby this morning said, isn't it overwhelming? Aren't you scared? I said, absolutely. But this morning I had a beautiful sister Christian, Lou Ann, some of you may know her, stand up next to me and pray over me. She said, God, don't let Carol screw up. Yay, we're good to go. We're good to go. So I'm probably Carol Duty. We'll leave the last name alone. My husband's sitting right there, so you can talk to him later. It took me 8 years to take it, but I finally took my married name. I'm probably unfamiliar to a lot of you, so let me introduce myself for a few minutes. My family is going to pop up any... This is us getting ready for church. No, I'm only kidding. This is at a bar mitzvah recently. My husband, Michael, who I mentioned, Michael is a retired New York City police officer. We really have to keep our law enforcement folks in prayer. Yes. We have my daughter, Caitlin, who's 14, who just returned from the missions trip in Jamaica with our youth. Thank you for supporting that. They really had an amazing time. And as a parent, I've never heard please and thank you so much. I think going and working in an orphanage in Jamaica for the blind, the disabled, really taught my 14-year-old Long Island kid what life is about, put things in a little bit of perspective for her. So thank you, anyone here who supported that group going and who actually went. My son Christopher is a sophomore at Stony Brook University. He's a mechanical engineering student. And my mom, who photobombed the picture, and of course me. I work in Manhattan. I went to law school. I'm trained as a lawyer. I don't actually practice law, even though a large majority of my family wish I did. I don't practice law. I'm an administrator in a law firm, which I've been at for 32 years next month. I can't believe it. Really great stuff. And Lord bless my firm. They've blessed me tremendously. I've been at Shelter Rock Church for about 6 years, started at the Syosset campus, and over the last year, my family has been helping launch the Westbury campus, which if you haven't visited, please come. We're having a great time over there ministering to the community there. While I've been here, I helped with women's ministry. So a lot of the women here I know from women's ministry, and that was awesome. And while I was doing women's ministry, if you notice, I tend to keep busy, right? While I was doing women's ministry, I got my bachelor's in Christian women's studies at Trinity Bible College out of Newburgh, Indiana. Obviously, online I did that. And so Steve Tomlinson one day said, Carol, you know, I notice you like to talk. I guess that's a good thing. And I do have a love for the word, and I do have a love for the Lord. Hi, Dorothy. And I do have a love for the Lord. So would you like to speak one day? And after I thought I was going to throw up, because that's a little nerve-wracking, I said, I'm being picked off the bench. How could I not say yes? So he went over several topics, and he told me that we were doing a series right now called Wonderful Name. And one of the names that was available was Healer. And immediately, it connected with me. God has done amazing healing in my life. And I thought to myself, how could I keep it in? How could I not come and tell you about God as healer? Because I am a living proof of what God can, will, and wants to do for you. So today, we're talking about the wonderful name, Healer. We're going to be looking at Exodus 15:26, but if you just give me a minute, I'd like to just give you a little context for this scripture. I'll lay it up for you a little bit. So at this point, the Israelites have come out of Egypt. They have seen miraculous signs of God. They have seen Pharaoh and the Egyptians inflicted for not letting God's people go. If you know the story, there's boils and flies and gnats and frogs and all kinds of things going on because God is looking for Pharaoh to release his people. So the Israelites come out of Egypt, and if you know the story, I don't know, watch the Ten Commandments, it's my favorite movie. You'll see the waves high in the Red Sea and the Israelites coming through. And as soon as they get to the other side, Pharaoh is on the chase and his army goes into the water and the water comes down on them. And God's people walk freely on the other side. Great stuff. And God's people are praising and worshiping. And they're just recognizing and thanking God for the God that he is. But maybe like you, certainly like them. A few days into the desert, no water, they start mumbling, they start complaining, and they go to the one guy that we read about so often, Moses, to complain. And Moses, they get to Marah, where there is water, but it's bitter. And Moses cries out to God, and God, being faithful, tells Moses to throw the branch, the tree, into the water, and the water becomes drinkable. But at that point, God, in our text that we're going to look at, says to his people, I'm going to give you a test. And if you open your Bibles, please, to Exodus 15:26. If you're looking at the Bible that's in your pew, it's page 71. And we're going to take a look at the test that God puts before his people. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. And this is where we start. He said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I'd like to unpack that this morning in two parts. The first part I would like to focus on is God's instruction. If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I'd like to share a rather amusing story with you. As someone who works and has gone to school while I have my children growing up and serving in the church, there are often times that I don't make it home at night to see my children awake. I had a rule when I was in law school and working full time. I didn't go to law school till I was 36 years old. My son Christopher was 4 at the time, and then I had my daughter Caitlin when I was in my second year of law school, and I worked full time the whole time I was in law school. So I was rather busy, you know, and so I had something that I call mother's guilt, where I never made the recital, or I could never be the class mom, that was out of the question. And so often I would come home at night and my kids would be sound asleep. And on one particular night, I'm heading in from the city, I work in Times Square, and I'm on the Long Island Railroad coming home, it's about 9 o'clock at night, and I'm just feeling dreadful. You know, I'm thinking, what am I doing? I haven't seen my kids all day. My husband, who's a saint, has been holding down the household. What's happening? And I walk in the house, and it's dimly lit. As I would expect, the kids should be in bed. And all of a sudden, I hear a little voice. Mommy? And at one point, I'm like, oh, somebody's awake, you know? Because I have to admit, when they were little, before school, I'd wake them up. You know, I'd be like, kiss them so much that they'd be like, why'd wake up? And I'm like, I just need to see your eyes. Let me see your eyes. So I scooped up Caitlin, and we went into the kitchen, and we would have something to eat, which now that I look back, maybe Caitlin was just staying awake to eat and not really to see me. But we walk into the kitchen, and we're sitting at the kitchen table, and behind me is a big bay window of pictures of our family. And as I'm eating, unbeknownst to me, Caitlin, who's now about 5, is looking at the window, you know, at all the pictures, and I'm eating. And all of a sudden, Caitlin turns to me and says, Mommy, why are there no pictures of me? Anybody relate to that? If you have more than one, you relate to that. And if you have multiples, you know, I have about 10,000 pictures of Christopher, and I probably have about 300 of Caitlin. And I thought to myself, oh gosh, what am I going to do? Like the guilt, the shame, I don't have a picture of Caitlin, another area of failure in my life, right? So I start to look at the window and I think, God, please give me something. Maybe she be in a corner or maybe she's somewhere in that picture. And just as I'm about to say, Caitlin, I'm so sorry. I missed it. I don't have a picture of you. I happen to see this very photo. And you won't see Caitlin in it. There's my cousin Teresa and I were at a family function. And I go, Caitlin, I'm pregnant with Caitlin, by the way. Caitlin, it's not possible. I could never not have a picture of you. Really? Like, oh, you doubt me? Come on. And so she looks at the picture and she says, but where, Mommy? Where am I? I said, right here, honey, in my belly. And she looks and she looks at me. And she scrunches her little nose, and she says, you ate me? See, consequences came with my priorities being a bit off. Consequences came, right? I remember it with humor, thank goodness, as you will, I hope you do. But consequences come. And this is what God is telling us in Exodus 15, 26. And I'm not saying that consequences won't come. You can follow this book perfectly. But we are in a fallen world, and consequences will come. That's just the way it is. I know pillars of our faith who deal with depression. Pillars of our faith whose marriages are struggling. What I'm suggesting today is don't help it. The fallen world, the devil's going to attack regardless. Our goal is not to help him along. So I like to look at that first part of the scripture about the rules and regulations, and I think the Israelites, and maybe you too and me, could have two different reactions to that. Rules and who's a rule follower? Who loves rules? Give me structure, give me coach, I'm in, right? We love that. Right, so you're like, I got the book, 618 laws in the Old Testament, I have memorized, I'm good to go, I got it. And who is a rule breaker? Okay, listen, I'll do this. I can't even remember my kids' names. You think I'm going to remember 618 laws? And I know I'm supposed to stop at a stop sign, but when I got pulled over by a police officer a month ago and got that ticket, I said, you know, I just forgot. I forgot. I thought a roll was a stop, you know? I rolled through the stop sign. I would suggest that God put that second line, I am the God that heals thee, because he knew it would be hard for me and you. When Michael and I were first married, we were married about a year and a half, and I wanted a divorce. I just didn't want to be married anymore. I didn't like my marriage. I didn't like the sum of my marriage. I wanted a different marriage. I was 32 years old. I had a full-time job. I was good to go. I don't know about you, but the world is pretty comfortable with divorce, so I was pretty comfortable with divorce. And I knew better. I was saved. I was baptized when I was 15 years old. I've been reading this book my whole life. I knew the rules. I knew what I should be doing. Never prayed once for healing in my marriage. I didn't want it. I wanted what I wanted. I had a fantastic pastor in our church in Brooklyn who told me, Carol, this is not how it's supposed to go. I had Christian friends who said, Carol, you belong on your knees. You should be praying for your change. Get the plank out of your own eye before you start talking about him. But I didn't want it. I knew the rules. And just like Exodus 15, 26 says, the consequences came. The self-righteousness, the pride, the anger, a broken home, my son living without his father in the house. The consequences came. But we're going to talk about the rest of the story this morning. The scripture says, I am the God that heals you. And I am the God that heals Carol. And I am the God that heals marriages. And I am the God who heals anger and I am the God who heals selfishness, and I am the God who heals self-righteousness. God didn't leave me there in my consequences. He didn't leave the Israelites in their consequences. And he doesn't leave you in your consequences. This morning I'd like to talk about a few areas of healing that I've personally experienced and I know others have experienced. These are testimonies that the God that healed back then, right? In the Bible, people say, oh, the Bible, written back then, really doesn't happen now. Not true. It happens every single day. And I know I'll give you a few, yes, praise God. And I'll give you a few examples, but I have no doubt if we gave an opportunity for people to stand up in this room and talk about the healing in their lives, in the lives of others, we'd have many hands go up in this room. What I'd like to do too is we're going to have a time of prayer today. We move the offering up to the beginning because I truly believe in the power of prayer. When I wanted my divorce and I never prayed once, and I don't say that with pride. To be honest with you, I'm almost embarrassed to say it. But by the grace of God, I had saints in my life that prayed over my marriage. Who every time I see them now, Michael and I just celebrated 20 years together. My family, when I see them now, they rejoice in the fact that their prayers were answered. So when I go through the few examples that I have, I really would like for you, not for me, to really take an inventory of your heart, of your health, of your mind, of your emotions. I might hit on one of them, the areas of healing that you need when I talk about these stories, and I may not. But we're going to have a time of prayer when I'm done. There's 1,440 minutes in this day. We're going to offer prayer for 5 of them. It could absolutely change your life. So I know it's an opportunity to maybe check out mentally, physically, get going on your day. But I would strongly suggest not today. There's a reason that God had an appointment for you to be here, to hear about healing. And there's a reason why God, in his humor, had me come and speak to you. So let's take that opportunity. The first one I'd like to talk about is spiritual healing. If you are separated from God, you're spiritually bankrupt. And that's not how God wants you. God's number one priority is to have an intimate relationship with you. He knows your name. He loves you. He died for you. And he does not want to be separated from you. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what religion you grew up in. It doesn't matter. God loves you. My stepbrother Chippy, about a month and a half ago, went into the hospital. His liver was failing. His kidneys were failing. My mother and I, my stepbrother has been in my life about 45 years. And I was talking to my mom on the phone. I said, Mom, do you know if Chippy knows Jesus? I mean, the evidence didn't appear so, but just to let you know, we can't judge, right? It's not up to us to judge if someone's with the Lord or not, right? Doesn't matter how they're acting. Amen. And so I said to my mom, I really don't know, Mom. She said, I'm going up there today. Feisty thing she is. Now, I can't give you her age, but she's somewhere between 77 and 79, okay? Everybody got that? So she went up to the hospital, and she had one mission. And I pray we all get this urgent about the unsaved. She went up to the hospital and sat on Chippy's bed, and she said, Chippy, do you know that Jesus loves you? 67 years old, Catholic church, Catholic school, his whole life. Went to church on Sundays. He started to cry. Wow. My mother said, he wants you in heaven with him. He said, I've been too bad. God doesn't want me. And my mother said, Chippy, Jesus loves you. He died for you. Isaiah 53 says it, by his wounds, you, me, and Chippy are healed. My mother led him in the sinner's prayer, and he was like a new man. He He was still a dying man. His physical being was still dying. But my mother said the hope in his eyes, the countenance that came over him. His nephew came in the room a little bit later and he was eating. And his nephew said, "What happened to him? What happened to him?" And then the nurse came in about an hour later and he was sound asleep. He'd been in the hospital 2 weeks. Sound asleep, the nurse said, "I haven't seen him sleep in 2 weeks." That is what God, our healer, does. Chippy unfortunately passed away several days later. So he wasn't healed on this earth, but he is fully healed with Jesus Christ. Amen. And his family has the peace to know that he is with Jesus. Thank you. Amen. He is with Jesus. I'd like to discuss just a little bit about physical healing. And again, we can read about it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Throughout the Bible, we hear about Sarah giving birth at 100. Okay, ladies, shout out to Sarah. We can read about in 1 Kings how the woman's son was raised from the dead. We read about Jesus healing the blind and the leper and the paralytic. But that's not a Jesus of then. That's the Jesus of then and now. And so we have a young lady by the name of Jen Helfand. I was on the phone with her last night asking her permission to speak about her today. Jen was dying of anorexia, starving herself to death. Her arms this big, if you see pictures of her, concave. She was dying. Prayer just washed over this young woman. She is gloriously healed. She is a full-time person for Youth for Christ. And she said to me last night, I said, "Jen, you know, can I just go on the outskirts of it? You know, maybe folks in church tomorrow will have some kind of eating disorder, gluttony, anorexia, bulimia. Can I just touch?" She said, no, you give them my name. You tell them. She said, "I walk in victory. I walk in joy. I walk in peace." She said, "You can tell them my name." Love her. Love her. And then when I was in Syosset a couple of weeks ago, I said to the prayer team, "Give me some stories, tell me." They said a man had come with cancerous nodules all in his neck, on the CAT scan, on right there, plain to see. After, kept going on Tuesday nights for prayer, goes back for a CAT scan, gone. That's God. God heals you, and he heals me. And he heals this person. A woman who couldn't conceive was coming to the prayer room, praying. About a year later, they moved away. She came back with a big belly, just praising God, healing. This is what God does. And lastly, I'd like to talk about the area of emotional healing. I spoke about Michael and I and about our marriage and how I didn't want to be married any longer. And basically, you know, I had my story down. You know, I could tick off all the reasons why I shouldn't be married. I can tell you all about why my marriage was bad. I can justify, you know, I'm trained as a lawyer. I always can come up with a good argument, no matter what it is. And so I had the saints praying for me, stirring my heart, dealing with me. So we were separated. Michael was out of the house. We were trying to get divorced by God's sovereign hand. You know, the papers got lost in the courtroom, or we couldn't get somebody to do something. Somebody couldn't sign something, you know. As frustrated as we are, God was laughing because he knew the end of the story. So he was having a good time with us in a good way. And so one day I come home from work. I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I'm doing some work for school. I had an exam coming up. And God spoke to me as clearly as you can hear my voice. God spoke to me. And he said, "Carol, reconcile your family." And my immediate reaction was, "Nah, no thanks. No thanks. Don't want it. Been there, done that. I know what it's like being married. Nah, I really, it's okay." But I don't know if you've ever had the Lord speak to you or speak to your heart, speak to your spirit, tell you to go on a missions trip. And you're like, "Not really." Or give even more than you think you can give into the offering. "No, not really." But something happens in you when God speaks to you directly. You cannot say no. I think you probably could, but I would suggest not. And so when God spoke to me, I said, "No, God, I really don't want it." But I knew that I was supposed to do this. So that was a Sunday. I went to work that Monday. I came home that Monday night, and I was just crying all day. People in the office were like, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" I could barely explain to them that the Lord had spoke to me. And I came home from work that Monday night, and I happened to be redoing Christopher's room. He was on a camping trip with Michael, and Christopher's mattress was on the floor in our living room, and because I was painting his room, and I laid on that mattress in my suit from work from Monday night until Wednesday morning and cried. It wasn't easy. I knew what I had to do, but I was scared to death. I didn't want to go back. I knew what it was like. So I laid on that floor, and probably the first, 8 hours, I was saying, "No, God, no, God, no, God." The next 8 hours, I'm like, "But if I do it, God, how will it look? I don't want the same old me. I don't want the same old him. I don't want the same old marriage." And every time I spoke to God, he'd say, "Okay, I'll heal you. I'll heal him. I'll heal your marriage." So by the time I got off that floor on Wednesday morning to get ready and go to work, God had created a completely different person in me. I think of Lazarus during that time in my marriage. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. And then when they rolled open the tomb, they said it smelled pretty bad. Death was in the tomb. I would suggest that for 3 years of my marriage, death was within me. The bitterness and the anger and the righteousness and the indignation of, I get to do what I want. I was about 35 at the time. I had my job. I was ready, set. And this is a message if you're married or not, by the way. Even if you're not married, living in that self-righteousness and that indignation that you can do what you want, when you want, how you want, regardless of other people in your life, is rotting within you. And it smells bad. But I just praise God that God has a strong stomach for the smelly. And so I got up off of that floor on Wednesday. And also as a background, every time I was in the room with Michael, he said, the look on my face said I was either going to throw up or punch him in the face. Okay? So, and I tell you that because Wednesday night, I get home from work and I call Michael. He's on this camping trip with Christopher. And I said, "Hi, do you want to go to dinner tonight?" And as a background story, Michael told me, and I hadn't told him I was sharing this, so hopefully he's not upset with me, but I feel someone here needs to hear this. Michael was away camping with Christopher, and over those 3 years, Michael pursued me. He would send me roses at work. I'd throw them out. He would get me gifts. I'd be like, "No, thank you." I was hard, hard. By the way, I was saved the whole time. Knew the rules. I didn't want it. My eyes, my ears, I had wax. I was blinded, right? And so Michael said, and this didn't come out till about a month later, Michael said that Tuesday night, remember the timing, Tuesday night, he went to sleep and he said, "God, I give up. God, I give up. I'm not pursuing her anymore." And Wednesday he got a call and said, "You want to go to dinner?" And we both believe that God orchestrated that whole timing. How could that possibly be that while I'm on the floor crying out to God to heal this marriage and to heal me and to heal him, and by the way, Michael wasn't saved at the time. Michael wasn't saved. So this morning as the prayer, oh, happy ending, by the way. The picture's coming up. Sorry. We're having a nice big celebration next weekend. We're renewing our vows at 6 o'clock at Syosset, if anybody's free. We're going to renew our vows. And you know what? Greg Farris sent me a question. He said, "Why did you marry Michael the first time?" I said, "Because I loved him." He said, "Why do you want to renew your vows?" I said, "Because I'm in love with him." And God did that. God did that. So as the prayer team, if anyone's here from the prayer team, if you wouldn't mind coming forward for this time of prayer, I'm sorry, it's a little impromptu, but Roger and the worship team is going to come up. And basically, we're going to offer you the time to pray, to come pray with our prayer ministry. If it be for you or for be for someone that you know, like the saints in my life, to prayer. And it's, you know, I talked about the physical, the spiritual, the emotional, but there's so many levels to that. You know, during the week as I was praying for you, and I was here yesterday with Pastor Steve, just praying over these seats, like, God, whoever you appoint to be in these seats, may they be open to an inventory check. May they be open to what's that healing that needs to happen? And it could be something so little that you think, this is nothing, that I like curse at that driver that cut me off. You might think, come on, what's that in the scheme of things? But you know what? God wants to heal you of that. If you have anger in your life, bitterness in your life, a physical heal, or you know what? Maybe you just gave up hope. I was talking to a woman who said, you know what, I just stopped praying. It's been too long. It's 25 years, he's never going to get saved. I would argue with you today that he will get saved. And we will not give up on that promise from God that he is the one that heals us. And he heals you. So please, Roger, please. This is your time. This is your time with God. This is your moment. Let's take advantage of that and pray with one another. I was talking to a woman this week who was talking about the sexual abuse that she had suffered in her life. And she said, you know what, Carol? I don't think I can ever truly be healed. I would say that's a lie. God heals you. God heals me.